Anytime God stirs something in the heart of a person, but especially a young person, our job is to nurture that and to discern God's call and God's work upon their life. And God has been working in Matthew's life for quite some time now and just really teaching him some things and really stirring some things within his soul. I've known Matt since he was little, very, very little, and to see him grow in the Lord and to see him so receptive to what God is doing in his life is very exciting. And my job is to try to help nurture whatever God is stirring within him. I even gave Matt a copy of St. Augustine's Confessions to read, thinking that he would just put it aside, like most every other person that I've given a copy of St. Augustine's Confessions to, and not even get to it. But not only did Matt read it, he actually gets it. You know, that's pretty exciting to me, especially as a pastor and as a teacher. It's not an easy read, but there's some good things in there. Let me say a prayer for Matt as he comes this morning and shares his very first sermon with us, and I'm just so excited about that. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you're doing in our lives and in the life of our church and in Matthew's life and in his heart. He is brilliant. But more than that, he's receptive to what your Spirit is teaching him. And he's a student of your Word. And I pray, Father, that as you've given him this message to share with us today, your Spirit will just speak directly through him to our hearts. And may we be not only hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word as well. Have your hand upon Matthew and his family. In your name we pray. Amen.
Hi, everybody. So, I've never done anything like this before, so everybody just bear with me. I'm going to do the best I can, and we'll see where this all goes. A couple weeks ago, God put it upon my heart that I wanted to say something. I wasn't quite sure what it was, so I sat and I prayed. Amen. And I reflected on the Word, and I thought to myself, What could I try and articulate up here? And the Lord has brought to my attention the importance of faith. Amen. In my life recently. Amen. And so I went to one of the most explicit explanations of faith that I can find in the Bible. And it's a dense read. In Hebrews 11, the gentleman... I'm a little loud and echoey. I'm going to move this down just a little bit. There we go. Is that better? That's too low? Oh, my goodness. There we go. So, Hebrews was written by a man or woman, I suppose. We're not quite sure who that person was. But we do understand that person had learned from the disciples themselves. And he was speaking to a congregation of people who had a pretty firm foundation of the Torah and the Old Testament, hence the name Hebrews. He was speaking to a congregation of Christian Jews. And so some of the things he goes over are really kind of hard for a lot of people to conceptualize, but he goes over this beautiful story about how God is both fully human and fully God, and he's like a better Moses, and that he's the high priest over all creation. And so he goes forward to ask us, well, what do we do about that? If we have put back in place what is most important, if we need to put who is first, and how do we do that? Well, his answer here, in the most beautiful, dense words I think I've ever read in the Bible, it's through faith. Amen. That we walk. Amen. So that we might have partnership in new creation. Amen. And so, I'm not the best at reading, so but everybody bear with me here, but I'm going to attempt to read 40 verses of Hebrews 11, so Amen. Hold your laughter till the end, please. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance in what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what is visible. By faith, Abel brought a better offering than Cain. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offering. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. I'm very sorry. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah was warned about things not yet seen. In holy fear, he built an ark to save his family. By faith, he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness that is in keeping with faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country, living in tents, as did Isaac, Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to a city whose foundations were architected and built, and whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so, from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars and as countless as the sand on the seashores. All of these were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on the earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of a country they had left, they would have had the opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. Amen. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promise was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead, and so in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regards to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when the end was near, spoke about Exodus and the Exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions concerning the burial of his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw that he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of the Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as a greater value than the treasures of Egypt because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. Perceived because he saw him who is visible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the application of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people of Israel, by faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have the time to tell you of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administrated justice, gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of flames, and escaped the edges of swords, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts, mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith.
Amen.
Yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us they would be made perfect.
Amen.
Those are beautiful words.
Amen.
That is poetry unlike any that I have ever written. So there's a lot there. That is really dense. Incredibly. I'm pretty sure I could preach my entire life on just those 40 verses and still not even come close. I think I might get through verse 1 if I did for the rest of my life. So let's start there at verse 1. So I just read that from the New International Version, which is a wonderful, wonderful interpretation of the Greek and Hebrew that is the Bible. And I find that the very first verse of this the interpretation is 100% correct. But I really have found that I like the King James interpretation of these Greek words. So I don't know if any of you have a King James version on you, but I wrote it down here so that we could have it. Now faith is the substance or reality of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Both of these translations say something different, which is okay. There's only one Bible and it was written, and we live in a different time, in a different place. And interpreting, translating any language doesn't always have a perfect comparison. And all of these words used to describe what faith is are 100% correct.
Amen.
But I, along with a lot of people that are a whole lot smarter than me, believe that this second one, that faith is the substance or reality and the evidence, is probably closer to what this person is trying to write. And I'd like to try to show that. So, I think a lot of people have a misconception about faith, that it's just, we just believe. It's all in my head. And I don't at all. Was this about people just thinking in their heads? All of these examples of faith? No. These are people who are taking that and then are doing something about it.
Right.
You know, because here, if we look at, say, what was it here? It's 11:11. We have Sarah. Now, Sarah is told she's going to have a child. She's, 80-something, guys? 80-something? 80? 90? Somewhere in there. Well past when you can have a baby. Well past when she could have a baby. And she's told this. And, I mean, what she did? She laughs. And, you know, she's, that's funny. And then if we read through, and if we look in Genesis at that story, we can see that she stops. And she considers the promises that have been fulfilled through God to her and her family. And through that, she doesn't just have faith and believe in God for no reason. She does it because she did the mental math. And she says, God has been so good to me that He can do this. You know, we go a little further and we can see more evidence of this same thing again. Abraham. This is 11:17. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. And he who had embraced the promise was about to give his only son. Even though God said to him through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned. He reasoned that because of these things that he had already witnessed, through the proof given to him by the glory of God, that he could just raise Isaac back from the dead. So once again, he has faith in God and then does the mental math and reasons. So this is a really complex and robust idea, and I think it's more complex than a lot of people think about faith. So it's like I'm potty training Barrett right now. I'm sure you've all gotten to know that loud little booger. I'm potty training him right now. And I put a pair of underwear on him. And I have faith that he's going to figure this out. Because I have the evidence and the substance and the reality of something by looking at not just my children, but everybody. I can see that children grow and learn. And they become what they're going to be. So in faith, I put that pair of underwear on that boy, even though he's going to stumble. I know in my heart, in my mind, everywhere, fully I have faith that he will figure that out.
Amen.
And it's faith like that that calls Paul as he goes out to preach about God. As he writes these messages to the churches, he says Jesus has lived and died and rose again as the King over all.
Amen.
He doesn't say, hey, just believe me blindly. He says, no. This happened in a cultural center of the world. Hundreds of people saw him live and die and be raised again. You want to, don't believe me? Go ask them. They're still alive. These people are right over there.
Amen.
Go ask them. So because of that, we can walk forward today, tomorrow, and in every day of our life, knowing, not just believing in our head, but knowing that God and Jesus have a plan for us, for new creation, so that we might all be able to worship and love Him. And even if we die before we realize that promise, that we will be join Him in His resurrection. That we will all be together. And because of that, I stand here today praising God the Father, praising God the Son, and the Holy Spirit that flows through all of everything. So that perhaps we might all gain a better understanding of what faith is.
Amen.
Here at the end of Hebrews 11, he says that all of these people were commended for their faith, and so that they may all share in that with him, and that it can only be perfect when we all share in that with him. Here at verse 32, he goes to list more people in this book, more evidence, so that we might know. And there's a lot of names he didn't put in here. And I think he's inviting us with this to look back and say this story starts at Genesis, at the beginning of everything, at God. And it's the story, it's not over yet. You, every one of us in this room and in this world are all still part of this story. Perhaps we should walk forward today and for the rest of our lives and ask ourselves, what are we doing by faith? How are we to see? Are we going to walk blindly, guys? Or are we going to know? We're going to do these things for reasons. That's real, robust, biblical faith, I believe. Now, I'm not a teacher of the Word. I'm not as educated as this man. There are a lot of people in this world that are a whole heck of a lot smarter than me. But I'm pretty sure that that's true. So I'm pretty sure that wasn't a half hour. But I think somehow I went through that a whole lot faster than I meant to. So perhaps through faith and through confidence in what we see and what we read and the messages we see in this book and in our lives and in our families, maybe would you guys like to sing and praise God some more? And not for no reason, but because Jesus Christ has risen again. I don't know what we should sing and praise, but I think this guy knows a thing or two about music, and I think some of the rest of us do too. Is there any way we could just praise again for the next couple of minutes? Would that be okay? I don't, whatever. Let's just ramble off something. There's so many of these beautiful songs we know. I'm sure somebody will sing along. Let's all make joyful noises to the Lord.
Thank you. I love that he read the entire chapter of Hebrews 11. I heard a sermon a couple of weeks ago where the preacher read word for word the entire book of James. Wow. And then just had some thoughts afterwards. And then I hear Matt read the entire chapter of Hebrews 11. And the thought occurred to me is, I think we should be doing more of that in church. That it's not our opinions, it's not our thoughts, it's the Word of God that changes lives and touches our hearts. And so thank you, Matt, for drawing our attention to this incredibly important chapter in Hebrews 11, so that we might, as the Bible says, live by faith. For the Bible says, the righteous will live by faith. That was powerful and such a good word. Father, we have been beautifully reminded today that we speak the name of Jesus by faith. By faith, we live this Christian life. By faith, we keep pressing on. By faith, we step out and do the impossible, even when logically it may not make sense, but when we know that it's from you, we step out on faith and do it anyway. By faith, we seek to be obedient to your word and obedient to your spirit. By faith, we do and go and say the things that you would have us do, go and say. And I pray, God, that you would increase our faith. As we're thinking about a new year in just a few weeks, may 2024 be the year that we just walk by faith and not by sight. And so, Lord, we proclaim the name of Jesus. It's the only name by which we can be saved. And so, Lord, if someone's here today and their faith is not very strong, and maybe they're even questioning their faith, would your grace just reassure them that you're there, You walk alongside them. You are with us. And that we can trust in you and trust in your promises. We may not see the promises come to fruition, but they will in your perfect time and in your perfect way. And so continue to have your hand upon us. And Lord, as we spiritually and mentally and emotionally prepare ourselves for the season of Advent, may we really take hold of the fact that you are Emmanuel, you are with us. And that gives us the impetus and the motivation we need to continue to live by faith. Thank you for this wonderful time we've had today. And I pray that you'll watch over us and our loved ones in this new week and bring us back next Sunday to worship you. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. God be with you. God bless you. Thank you for being so attentive. Just have a great day.